We begin the current daf in Sechtes Bamitzia daf Kuf. Begin on the top of the Amud, but the Gemara continues in the next Mishnah, which follows a pattern similar to the previous Mishnah before this last Mishnah, where the Mishnah was speaking about the topic of this Perek of Ashel as a part regarding someone that borrows a cow. Now, there the Gemara said, the Mishnah was talking about where for part of the time it was a rental, part of the time it was a loan, and then where they were countering claims from the lender and from the borrower if the oinus of it died, did it happen during the time of the loan? Like the owner of the object was claiming, the owner of the cow, because then the borrower would be chayv if it was during the time of the loan. Whereas the renter said it was during the time of the rental where he was going to be potter. And told my cases of when they're unsure or when one of them is buried, another one is shema. That was the topic of that Mishnah. Our Mishnah follows a similar theme and pattern. So the Mishnah begins, Hamachlef para b'chamor b'yalda. If someone swaps a cow from one person for the donkey of the other person, and the donkey gives birth. Now Rashi explains the reason why it says specifically that it was done through chalip and hamachlev, and it doesn't say that if someone sells his cow to someone else and it gives birth, which would be seemingly the same as the case the Mishnah is going to describe, where we're not sure in whose possession did the animal give birth. So the reason why it speaks about swapping is because if we were speaking about a sale, so the halach is, as you learned in Perek Hazav, is that a person does not acquire an object that he bought by paying the money until he actually does meshicha, until he draws the object that he bought to himself. Now, if he already did meshicha, he would know if it already gave birth or if it didn't give birth yet. And therefore, you wouldn't have the doubt of what the topic of a Mishnah is talking about, which is the claim of, oh, up until it was sold or it only happened once I bought it. So therefore, that wouldn't apply for the case that the Mishnah is going to describe. But regarding what the case of the Mishnah is told about of Hamachlev Parah B'Chamor, there you don't have to do Meshicha on the Parah and on the Chamor, because by having one of the two parties doing Meshicha on one of them, that's what's called the Kinyan of Chalipin. Like for example, when you give a Sudr, when you give the kerchief, let's say from the buyer to the seller, automatically the other object that the person is trying to buy is acquired to him wherever it is. As the Gemara says in Perek Hazav, Benav Memvav Medalev, once one party merits one of the objects, so then automatically becomes obligated the other object, which is the counterpart, the what's being transferred to the other one. So therefore, that's the case of our Mishnah, where since the owner of the cow already drew the chamor to him, so that means the cow, wherever it is acquired to the owner who was the original owner of the donkey. And now we don't know, which is going to be the case of the Mishnah, if it gave birth or not at that time. Because we later come and say, oh, it had a baby. Well, when was this? We didn't have any surveillance to see, was it before the sale, which is the transfer, or was it after? So that, therefore, again, Rashi just points out why he spoke about specifically Hamachlev. Now, v'chein, so too, the same halachic discussion would apply Hamoicher Shevchas HaViyolda. If someone sells his maidservant and she gave birth, where there you don't have to say Hamachlev, as Rashi points out, because an Eved Kanani, a non-Jewish slave or maidservant, is acquired with money. And therefore, from the moment that the buyer gives money to the seller, the Shifcha is acquired to him wherever she is, even if she's still in the house of the seller. Now, and if we don't know up until what point did she give birth, was it before the money was given, and therefore the fetus belongs to if she didn't give birth yet, then belongs to the buyer, or was it after that he paid after she gave birth already, and therefore the child was from the original owner? Therefore, that's the question. So regarding both of these cases, the animal and the maidservant where he gave birth, we don't know, was it when it was still in the seller's domain, or when it already entered into the buyer's domain? Says the Mishnah, Zeimer, this party says, Achle Mecharti, that it gave birth before I sold it. It was my child. You didn't buy that. Vizelimir Mishlakhti, whereas the buyer says, no, it gave birth after I already had bought it. Says the Mishnah, since we don't know, so and they're both saying each of their own claim, so Yachloiku, so we split it 50-50. So too says the Mishnah, Hoyilu Bezavadim. Let's say the seller had two slaves, Echa Godla Becha Katan. One was bigger and one was smaller. And b'chein beisad, so too, if let's say you had two fields, achas gedol v'achas katana, one large, one small. Halakeach oimer gadol kachti. The buyer says, I bought one of the two fields. It was the bigger one that I bought. V'halo oimer in yedei, and the seller says, I don't know. I don't remember which one was the one that I sold you. Says the Mishnah, zacha begadol. Since he's a definite claim, the buyer, and he's saying that it's the larger one, and the seller says, I don't know. He's a shema. So therefore, the buyer wins, and he gets the bigger field. Let's say the other way around. Let's say the seller says, I sold you the small one. V'haloimer ein yedeya, and the buyer says, I don't recall. So then ein le'alakut. So then he's the shema and the seller is the bari. So therefore the buyer only gets the smaller one. Let's say zelimer gadol v'zelimer katan. Let's say the seller says is the smaller one, and the buyer says is the big one. So then he says. So yishava ha'meicher shakatan macher. So the seller swears that he sold him the small one. And the Gemara is going to ask, where does this shvu come in? Why is the seller swearing? Where is there? It's not a case of ma'idim mikzis. Where do we find? Is this a biblical oath, a rabbinic oath? What's this oath that the seller has to take? But that's what the Mishnah says, that he has to swear that he sold him the small one, and he only has to give him then the small one. Let's say ze'imer en yedeh v'ze'imer en yedeh. Let's say each party says, I don't know. I know we made a sale. I don't remember. Do you remember? I don't remember. So then Allah is yachlika. Then they split again since they don't know. It's a mamon hamut basafik, which we have a doubt regarding this monetary halacha. Is it the small one or the big one? So then they split it. I mean, in regards to the division between the larger one and the small one, so you split that difference. So now the Gemara asks, Amayach leker, we opened up the halacha of the Mishnah, if someone swaps a cow for a donkey, or if he sells him as a maidservant, and now the child was born, we don't know in whose domain. So the Mishnah says, okay, you have to split it. Ask the Gemara, Amayach leker, why is that the halacha that you split it? Velech zibreshus deman kaima. Let's see in whose domain is it right now. Now, although there's a doubt, because, okay, we know it was in the seller's domain. And now the buyer is claiming that he bought it before it gave birth, so it gave birth in his domain. But he should be what's called in halacha, whoever's coming to remove from his friend, upon his is a comment the proof. So when the suffix was introduced, whose rishus was it in? Whoever's rishus it is in, although there's a suffix now regarding an element, but that person is called the muhsik. He has the presumptive status of this ownership. The one who wants to say that, maybe not, okay, you're right, maybe not, but you have to prove if you want to take it away from the muhsik. So why do we say that you split it? So Amar B'chiyah bar Avin, Amar Shmuel, he says, it's toma b'imedis ba'agam, where the animal is actually in the marshland. It's not in the owner's domain, and neither it is in the buyer's domain. And Shifchanami, the Kaim Basimta, so to the case of the maidservant, although she's not coming in the swamp, but it's talking about where she's in the corner, which is near the main thoroughfare, which is where animals and slaves are sold. And it was there that she gave birth. So therefore, she was not in the domain of the seller, nor the domain of the buyer, to have the other one be the one trying to remove from the muhsik the other one, because no one is the muhsik. It's not in anyone's domain. So the Gemara says, fine. So there's no reshus. It's not in anyone's domain to say that the other one is trying to take it away from him. But v'nukma acheskes de marakama, but there's a different chazaka. First one was called a chazaka of whose rishus it is in. But then there's a different chazaka in time. What's called the cheskes marakama. Who is the original owner? Up until now, we know that the seller owned it. Now, he sold something. We don't know what he sold. Did he sell the maidservant or the animal and not the child? Or did he sell it with the child? Depends, obviously, when the sale was. If it was before the birth, then he sold the child. If it was after the birth, then he didn't sell the child. So, then by default, the buyer should be the one who's trying to remove it from the chazakah of the marakama, because he was the original owner. So although it's not in his property per se, it's in the marketplace, it's in the swampland, fine. So you don't have the cheskes that it's in his rishus, but you have the cheskes marakama, so why do you split it? Says the Gemara Hamani, who is the Tana of our Mishnah, Sumchas Hida Amr, it's going like Sumchas, that he says, Mamun Hamut Basafik, Chalkum Le Shvua. You're right. He is the Muchzik, and the Rabbanan actually dispute Sumchas, and they say, therefore, Amat Zmechba Levaraya. But Sumchas disagrees with that, and he says, since there's a doubt regarding this monies, you don't go based on the Chazaka, and you split it without a Shvua. That's why it's Yachleiku, because ultimately we don't know. We don't know when they gave birth. And this the Gemara asks, when did Simcha say his halacha? When you have a money that's in doubt, that then you split it between the parties. That's b'shema v'shema. That's like the case in Shor Shenogeh Chasapar and Baba Kamet of Mem Vav Met Aleph, where each one is in doubt. We don't know. It was far away, and the animal gave birth somewhere. No one knows what happened. So each one is saying, maybe, maybe. Okay, maybe, maybe. We don't know. So then we split it. But bari u bari, but when each one is definite, because if you look at the halacha of a Mishnah, it says that ze oimer, and ze oimer, each one claims, each one is coming with a definite claim. No, 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 no. It gave birth after you sold it. No, no, it gave birth before you sold it. So mi amr, did Simcha say that halacha even when they have definite claims to say that you're going to say a mamna mamna the subject is chalkin? When no one knows anything, everyone is saying maybe, so then we'll split it. But if each one is saying a definite claim, then does he still say, Yachloku, wouldn't he say, Amotze Mechaber Levaraya? That says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Bravun in yes. Amar Simcha Zavula Bebari Bari. Simcha says this halacha that you split it without an oath, even when each one is definite, because since we don't know ultimately what happened, so we split it and we don't go based on the Chazaka. Now Rav Ami says no. Lo'olam ki amar Simcha Shemeh B'Shemeh. Truthfully, Simcha is halacha of splitting without a shvua by regarding doubtful monies was only when each one, when no one has a definite claim. They're both saying maybe. Avul bari yibari loyama, but when each one has a definite claim, then they didn't say that yachlikab lo yishpur. Then they would say, you're right, then the guy who had the original possession of it, he was the original owner, and he's making a definite claim, then of course he would be able to hold on to it. But v'tani, you should read the words in our Mishnah, that not ze oimer ad shalei mecharti, not that each one was making a definite claim, but rather ze oimer shema ad shalei mecharti. This one said that maybe up until I didn't sell it, it gave birth. And the buyer was saying that no, maybe when I bought it already, that's when they gave birth, and therefore each one is making a possible claim, a doubtful claim. That's where Simcha says, Mam and Hamut Basafik is going to be Yachlik B'lei Shvua. But you're right, if they had definite claims, then Simcha would agree that by Bari Bari, that you don't say Yachlik B'lei Shvua. Now the Gemara asks on this opinion of Rabbi Bar Avhuna that said that Simcha says his halacha even by Bari Bari, that you'll be Yachlik B'lei Shvua. The Gemara asks Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Ze oimer eini yedea, veze oimer eini yedea. If each party says, I don't know, so says the Mishnah, so then yachleku, then you split it. So asks the Gemara, Bishlam el Rava, it's very well understood the halacha of our Mishnah according to Rava. That is, medesev Hashem b'Shem, from the fact that we see the end of the Mishnah ends up with this concept of that each one saying, I don't know, you split it without a shvua. So reishanam Hashem b'Shem, that would seem to indicate that the halachic framework of Simcha's halacha of yachleiku without a shvua is only when each one is saying maybe, maybe. Because if it was even by definite, then why would the end of the Mishnah say that when I don't know, I don't know, then you split it. What do you mean, don't know? Even if you have bari, a bari, you'll split it, which is even a bigger chiddush. Because even if the muhsik is a bari, still, since both parties are definite and we don't know what to do with it, you split it out a shvua. So it makes sense that since the end of the Mishnah ends up with Shema Shema, that the ratio is also done by Shema Veshema. El Rabbi Rav Huna, the Amma that he said in, yes, Amma Sumcha Sevel Bari Bari, that Sumcha says is Allah of Yachlik B'li Shvua, even though, as the simple translation of our Mishnah is, that each one has a definite claim, still you split it without an oath. So that the Gemara asks, Hashta Bari Bari Am Yachlik, if the ratio of the Mishnah you already see, that even when each party has a definite claim, the seller says a definite claim, still he cannot hold on to it, you have to split it without a Shvua. Do I need the end of the Mishnah to say that when each one doesn't know that for sure you're going to split without a shvua? That seems to contradict Rav Ravuna's interpretation of Simchas. So the Gemara says no. Imishim holo iri. If that's your question, then that's not a problem. Because Tanasif lul yereisha. This save in the Mishnah was come actually, you're right. It's not saying a chiddush, but it was actually coming to reflect and reveal the intention of the reisha's halacha. In other words, Shaloi Toima Reisha Shema B'Shema, that you shouldn't say, because you could read the Mishnah and then interpret it as, actually the opinion of Rava did interpret it, as, oh, doesn't mean that each one said for sure, Achalei Mecharti or Mishlekachti. It was meaning they were saying that maybe, Avu Bari Bari Loi, but you would think that when each one has a definite claim, then you wouldn't say, Achleik B'Lei Shvuo, says Rabbi Ravuna, that's why Tana Seifa Shema B'Shema, that's why the Seifa came to say explicitly a case of maybes, Mechalal, to tell you, the Risha Bari Bari. To say that the first one's Bari Bari, because why would I need the Mishnah to say two halachas of Shema B'Shema? Obviously, that, oh, so it must have been the first halacha was talking about a Bari Bari, Vafil halacha yachleiku, and even so, Simchas is going to say his halacha, that they'll split it with Arashbu. But the Gemara continues to ask, on this opinion of Rabbi Bar Avuna. Tanan, we learned also in our Mishnah that Zerma Gadol v'Zerma Katan. So let's say he sold him a slave or a field, and the buyer says it was the bigger one, and the seller says it's the smaller one. Says the Mishnah, Yishava HaMeicher SheKatan Macher. So the seller has to swear that he sold him the smaller one, and then he only has to give him the smaller one. That's the halacha of the Mishnah. So ask the Gemara, Bishlam el Rava d'Amar, we could understand this halacha of the Mishnah according to Rava, that he says, Ki Amar Sumcha Shema B'Shema, when the Sumcha says halacha that you split out a Shavua, that's when each one doesn't even know. That each thing, maybe, no one has a definite claim. because Abul Bari, Bari Le'omar, but if each one had a definite claim, then Simchas doesn't say his halacha, they just split without a shvur. So, Mishamach Yishava. So says the Gemara, that makes sense why in this halacha, the Bishnah, when each one is making a claim, which we don't know really what happened, he's claiming the bigger one, he's claiming the smaller one. So that's why, in this case where it's Bari Ubari, they each making a definite claim, oh, there Simchas didn't say has halacha, yechloik abli shvur. They're actually the seller, who's the muchzik, will swear that it's like he's saying, that he only sold him the smaller one, and he only has to give him the smaller one. But Elul Rabba Baravu Nadama, that he says, in yes, Amr Sumchas Afala Bari Bari, that Sumchas says is Allah Hadid Splitter Al Shwar, when ultimately we don't know, it's he says, even if they each have definite claims. So Amay Yishava Meicher, so ask the Gemara, according to him, and the Sumchas is going like, the Mishnah is going like Sumchas, why in this case does the seller swear and get off easy and only have to give him the smaller one? But Yechloikim Yiboyle, Halacha should have been, as the other halachas that is trying to claim Rabbi Avun in the opinion of Sumchas, that you split it. Because even though he has a Bari claim, but ultimately he says, we don't know, and therefore why does he get off? They should have to split the difference between the large field and the small field. So, says the Gemara, Maida Sumchas, Sumchas agrees that you're not going to say Achleiku, Heichad Iker Shvur the Eiraisa, where there is a biblical oath as that of Maida Ben Miktsis, Kedebe'inan Lamim Lekaman, as the Gemara says, as we're going to say later on in Amud Beis. Where the Gemara anyway is going to ask a few different questions on this halacha, and as Rashi brings one of the opinions that I mentioned later on, where this slave that he's admitting to, that meaning the seller is admitting to that it was the smaller one, not like the buyer is claiming the bigger one, where actually the hand was chopped off, where therefore it's not halach. It's not saying here it's automatically, meaning the halacha made the mixes does not apply when you're actually giving back the thing. You're not admitting half and half, you're giving it right away. So it wouldn't be halach regarding what he's admitting. Moreover, this opinion in the Mishnah, which we're saying is Sumchas, holds that you make an oath even on slaves. And moreover, to answer the third question that the Gemara is going to address over there, that even though the buyer is claiming one thing, which is a large slave, and he's admitting to a small slave, which is something different, which is called in halachic terminology, tonem echid mahi lebesairin, where he's claiming wheat and he's admitting barley, you're chayiv in the shvuah of maidim mixis. And again, there's no problem of halach, because the hand is chopped off. And moreover, you make a shvuah on avadim, as we'll address all these three questions shortly. So either way, he explains the Gemara, since ultimately that the halacha of this case, of when he says it was this large slave, the buyer says, and the seller says it's a small one, it's a case of Maidim Miktis. Oh, Maidim Miktis, Simchas admits that since it's an obligation of Shavua, then you don't say Yachloiku, and rather the defendant, which in this case is the seller, because the buyer wants to extract more from him, and he's saying, no, it's only the small one, he makes the shvua, and therefore he exempts himself. There, Simchas didn't say his halacha of yachloiku b'lei shvua. So therefore, it's not a difficulty on Rabbi Bar Avuna. But now the Gemara goes to explain this halacha. The Mishnah said, ho'yuloi beiz avadim, if the seller had two slaves, echad gadol v'echad katan, one big one, one small one, he claims that he sold him the smaller one, the buyer claims it was the big one, and the Mishnah said, so he makes a shvua, and he exempts himself by only having to give the smaller slave. Now, so again, we explained it even according to that opinion, that Simchas says it even by Bari Bari, and why isn't Yachlaiku? Again, because as we'll explain shortly, that there is an obligation of a shvuah over there, and when there is an obligation, he says, so then you make the shvuah, and the one who makes the shvuah is exempt. You don't say Yachlaiku below shvuah. But now the Gemara doesn't understand the whole premise of this case. Amai Yishava, why is he making an oath? Where is this obligation of an oath? Where again, as we're saying, even Sumchas would agree that's where you go that way and not the Yachlik B'leshvur route. But Masha Tanu Loi Hadar Loi, what's being claimed from him, he's not admitting. But Masha Haidu Loi Loi Tanu, and what he's admitting to, the claimant's not claiming. In other words, as Rashi explains, you can't compare this to a case where someone's claiming, hey, I lent you $100. And this guy admits, no, I only owe you $50. Where there, it's part of the actual claim that he's admitting to. But here, he's claiming one slave, which his name was Reuven the slave, which was a large slave, and he's admitting to him Shimon the slave, which is the small slave. And therefore, regarding what the guy is claiming from him, he's saying, La'adam, what's called Loi Hoi Dvar Ma'ilam, that never happened. I never sold you that guy. Actually, I sold you a different slave. So where is there a shvua? The shvua might have mixed is only when you admit it to part of the claim. He's not admitting to part of the claim as if there's a large slave and the small is like part of that. They're two different people. So therefore, where is the obligation that might have mixed us? Void, moral. As the Gemara is explaining that even if you're going to say like the opinion, that where if the guy is claiming one thing and you admit a different thing, that still would be the obligation of Maidim Mixis. We're admitting the part of the claim where you're saying, no, what you're saying with wheat, it's not true. But it's true, I do owe you something, but it's barley. So that's admitting like the part of the claim, which is, yes, I owe you, but not what you're saying. Even so, asked the Gemara, it's still difficult. Because heilachu, where it's like, say, heilach means here it is. In other words, the slave that he's admitting to is right here, it's ready to be taken. Now, the difficulty is, there is an opinion brought in the beginning of the Masechet and Daf Dalet Aleph, that when it's heilach, then you pater. It's not considered Maidim Mixis. Maidim Mixis is only when the guy says, yes, true, I owe you $50, and I'll get it to you at one point. Oh, then he has to swear on the rest. But if what he's claiming he admits to is right here, he says, no, I don't owe you $100. That 50, here, it's right here, take it. And then there's no Chiyuv Shvuah. So here also, the slave is right here. So even if you held that admitting to something different than the claim, you'd be Chayv and Shvuah, but still you wouldn't be Chayv because it's Heilach. And question number three is, moreover, the whole thing doesn't start because Einish Bar Na'alavadim. You don't, the halacha is, you don't make an oath on slaves. That's something like karka, where you don't swear regarding such a claim in court, and therefore the whole thing doesn't start. The whole thing was talking about a large slave and a small slave. How could you make a Shvuah? So there are three questions that the Gemara is asking. So Amar Rav. So Rav answers, "B'toyanoy d'mei." Actually, the case that they're talking about is when he's claiming from him money. In other words, that the buyer is claiming d'mei eved gadol, that I gave you, I paid you. Meaning, in other words, you have in my hands that I bought from you. I paid you for the large slave, and you never gave me the large slave. So therefore, he's claiming to get his money back. But what type of money? The money of the value of the larger slave. And on that, the seller is saying, no, d'mei eved katan, you only gave me the money of the small slave. And therefore, I'm only going to compensate you back the amount of the value of the small slave. Or like the other case of the Mishnah, where d'mei sadi gedela, d'mei sadi katana, where the buyer is claiming, I paid you already for the large field. And the seller is saying, it's not true, you paid me for the small field. You want your money back? I'm only giving you back the value of the small field, not of the large field. Which really, this answers all three questions. Question number one was, what he's claiming is not admitting is not true, because we're not talking about large field or small field, or large slave or small slave, we're talking about the monetary value of that. So that he's claiming, I give you $100, and saying, no, you only give me $75. Moreover, answers question number two, because it's not halach, it's not a slave which is around, it's money, okay, I don't have it right here, it's not the same monies, and therefore that would apply for Maidim Mixis. And for the third question, that Einish Ban Alavadim, it's not the slave that we're swearing on, it's regarding the monetary value that the buyer paid him, regarding that, you do make a Shavu on. So that answers all the questions. That's answer number one. Shmuel Amei gives a second approach. Says, "B'toyinai k'sus eved gadol, k'sus eved katan." We're not really talking about where he claims he sold them the large, that he sold them the large one, and he said it was the small slave. We're actually talking about the garment of a large slave versus the seller saying, "I only sold you the garment of the small slave." So to regarding the field, it wasn't really the field per se. It was oimris of the gedayla. It was the amount of bundles of sheaves that usually are in a large field. And this guy is saying, no, that it was oimris of the gitana, the amount of bundles that are usually on a small field. That's what I sold you. As the Gemara continues on the base and explains that regarding this element, that there shouldn't be any problem because here we're talking about not a slave, which there's no Inish Ban al Kakois. Moreover, there's no problem with Halach because it's talking about movable items. And so too, regarding the first halacha of Mashatoin Eloi Haidalei, Mashatoin Eloi Tanoi. So the Gemara will address that right now shortly, but it's talking about regarding something which is a piece of the other one. So therefore the Gemara, Shmuel was saying that it's not talking about the slave per se or the field per se, it's talking about the garment of a slave or the bundles of a field. So on that the Gemara asks, but kisus, regarding a garment, that's still, question number one is still difficult. Because masha tanu lo haidalai. What he's claiming he didn't admit to, or masha haidalai lo tanu, and what he's admitting to he didn't claim. Because there's a size 10, a size 8. These are different garments, they're different things. So therefore, how is there going to be a chiv of shvu of Maidim Mixis when what he's claiming he's admitting to something else? So the Gemara explains, Kedam Rav Papa. This garment is like how Rav Papa said, B'di Yalfe, Hachanami B'di Yalfe is talking about Yalfe. Now, Yalfe is where he claims him a garment, a larger garment, which are stitchings of pieces of cloth, which that is definitely Mimin HaTayin, it's from the claim of what he's admitting to, because when he's saying it was a small garment, all he's saying is that it was less pieces than what you're claiming that it was. So therefore, since that is something which is Mimin HaTayin, that would be included in this halacha of Maidim Mixis, And therefore, it answers all three questions. Not talking about the slave per se, it's talking about the garment of the slave, which is just lesser pieces, like when a guy claims he owes me $100 and he admits to 75 or 50. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this interpretation of Shmuel, Kasha l'Rav Hoishir. Hoishir was bothered by this interpretation. Because Midikis Sus Ketani, does our Mishnah say anything about the garment of a slave? Evet Ketani talks about that he says he sold him the large slave and he sold him the small slave and he said he bought the large slave. So it's regarding that that they're disputing. But according to Shmuel, it's really not about the slave, because then we have all those questions. Rather, he says regarding such a garment. But on that, Rav Hoishir says the Mishnah doesn't say anything about a garment. So Elam Rav Hoishir, rather Rav Hoishir says, slightly different, which would answer his question that he asked on Shmuel, is Kegoyin Shetanu Eved. It's where the buyer is claiming that he bought the large slave, Biksusoi, with his garment. And now the seller admits that, no, you're right, I sold you a slave, but I actually only sold you the smaller slave with his garment, where since now the seller is Mechuyiv in the Shvua, because like Shmuel explained, because of the garment, and now he has to make a shvua also on the Eved because of what's known as the Halach of Gilgul Shvua. Once he gets him to swear, he can make him swear even regards to the slave. And that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Where then the Meicher has to make a shvua that he sold him only the small slave. Why? Then we ask all those questions. You don't make a shvua on the Eved and it's Halach and it's Namim in Atayna. You're right. But it's because of that he sold him the slave with his garment. And once, like Shmuel had explained, you make him swear, now it can't just be the garment, because that was Rav Hoishir's question. But rather he's saying it's the slave with the garment, so once he has to swear because of the garment, so then he has to swear also on the slave because of Gilgul Shavuah. And so to Besod the Ba'im Reha, he sold him the field with its bundles. So again, because of the bundles he has to swear, so then he's going to have to swear also on the field. Now then the question is, as we had asked on Shmuel, but Vakatik Sus, but still regarding even the saying that you're saying the Shmuel starts from the garment, but Mashatanu Lahoiduloi, but what he's claiming he's not admitting to, Umashahoiduloi Litanu, and what he's admitting to is not, he did not claim. That I'm Rapapa, he says, no, but the Alfred Toma, where it's not two different garments, a large and a small, it's a garment where you add on pieces, so therefore the smaller one is part of the larger one, so when you're admitting to the small one, it's actually a case of Mimin HaTayna, of the same garment that you're claiming to, just smaller pieces, which would qualify for the halacha of Moed B'Mitzvos, for that Shavua. Now, but on this interpretation of Rav Hoishir, the Gemara asks, Kasha l'Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes was bothered with the interpretation of Rav Hoishir. Because Zoikikin Aslash Mina, according to Rav Hoishir, what is the Chiddush of the Mishnah? It's coming to teach us this halacha that when you have to make an oath as a defendant on movable items, so that could mandate that even for, let's say, things like karka, which you don't have to make a shvua, that would mandate that you are obligated to swear on that too, where that's the case where Rashi is describing, where since you have to make a shvua on the garment of the slave that he sold him, he has to now swear also on the slave. And that's what the Mishnah is saying, that he has to swear regarding the slave. Why does he have to swear? Because the halacha of Gilgul Shvua, which is known as Zekikin, which it pulls you to have to swear on something else too. But that has Rav Papa, but Tanina. But that we already learned in the explicit Mishnah, Masechtas Kedushin of Chavav Meralf. It says clearly this halacha, and therefore why would our Mishnah be telling us this here inferentially? The Mishnah says, Zekikin HaNechasim, She'en LeMachrayis, that objects which do not have liability to them, meaning movable items which could be lost or stolen, mandate and pull, as a Nechasim She'esh LeMachrayis L'shav Aleihem, for properties that do have liability, meaning land which cannot be lost, so therefore you could always collect from it, has responsibility to it, to have to make a Shavuah on it. So therefore, why according to Rav Hoishir would our Mishnah be saying the Chiddush when it's the explicit Mishnah, Masechtas Kedushin? So Elam Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes says a different interpretation. And he says different opinions that will answer each one of these three questions regarding that it's not the same as the claim, and it's Halach, and that you don't make a Shavuah on Avodah. Which we had the answer of Rav that said, no, it's not the slave per se, it was the monetary, so that answers that question. We had Shmuel, who Rav Hoishir had a problem with that because he was talking about the garment, but it doesn't say garment. Hoishir said, no, it's the garment with the slave, which Rav Papa had a problem with that because then the seeming Chiddush would be the Halacha Megalglin of Zoykin, which is explicit Mishnah. Rav Hoishir has a different approach. He says, Hamani, who's the town of our Mishnah? It's Rav Meir. The Amma that he says, which is brought later on in the Brisa, regarding a case of when someone swaps a cow with a donkey, Rameyah said that Avda Kimitat Ladami. He says that a slave actually, which answers question number three, that a slave is not like karka. It's actually like a movable item, and therefore, like movable item, when you're the defendant, you have to swear. So to hear the Meicher has to swear. Now later on, the Gemara is going to ask, but that's only one of the two cases of our Mishnah. Besides the case of the slave, which, okay, you're saying a slave is like Matatlan, the other case was a field, which is karka. And the Mishnah says, even in that case, the Meicher has to swear, where seemingly everyone agrees by Karka that you don't make a Shvuah. But the Gemara will later address that. So that answers question number three.
The Gemara says, fine. Fakat, but you still have to do difficulty of question number one. Mashatanu loy hoidoloi, umashahoidoloi loy tanoi.
Fine, but still, the slave that he's claiming, he's not admitting to. What he's admitting to, he's not claiming, because he's claiming the big slave, and he's admitting the small slave, which are two different items.
Oh, so for question number three, we answered it's going like a specific Tana of Remeir.
So for question number one, we say that's also going like a specific Tana, who are Mishnahs like all these Tanoim, which Tzavala Kribim Leel. The Tana of a Mishnah holds like Kribim Leel.
It's not like we learned the Mishnah Masechta Shavuos.
That's not a problem if it's from a different item that he's admitting to. The Mishnah says, Tanu chitim v'hoi desa'ir. The Tanakhama says, if the claim is claiming you owe me wheat, and the defendant is admitting, I don't owe you wheat, I owe you barley, then patur, he's exempt from the halacha of a shvu of meidav mikzis, because according to Tanakhama, you need to have the haidah, the admission has to be partly from the claim itself, where if he admitted, let's say, to half of the wheat that he's claiming. But Ramum Leel, Mechai, Ramum Leel holds that you're going to be Chayv. So that's question number one. He holds not a problem, that's from two different types. So even though he claimed the big slave and admitted to the small slave, that would still be included in the halacha of the Shuvah, Maidim and Mektis.
So the Gemara asks, okay, fine. But Akate Helechu, we still have question number two.
Even if it's a Shuvah, Maidim and Mektis, but when you say, here it is, you right away give it, that's not considered a partial admission. That's saying, I'm denying everything you're saying. Regarding what you're saying, I owe you, it's yours already. It's here. That's not considered a Maidim and Mictus. And here the slave is here already. So why is there Maidim and Mictus, even though he's admitting to part, which is no problem, that's Minataina, but it's Halach. And then Amar Rava, he explains a third qualification, because we're talking about Avdu de Kotel Yadei. The slave, that small slave, which he is admitting to, he's denying the large slave, he's admitting to small slave, which he says is not a problem like a Mlil, but moreover, even the small slave that he's admitting to has his hand cut off. Or v'sada shechafa b'bayri shechinim arvus, or where it's a field that he's admitting to, the smaller field, which he had dug pits, where now you can't say, hey, here, take it, it's yours, because hey, even what you are admitting to, it's not whole yet, it's not complete. Not complete is not even what you're admitting to. You're not even giving that whole thing because you have to first supplement it with the broken hand that you broke or the pits that you dug in the field. So therefore, it's not halach. Therefore, it answers all three of those questions. Now, however, on this interpretation of Rapapa, the Gemara asks, how can you say that the town of a mishnah is like your mayor who he holds that avodim alang metaltlin, which therefore then answers the question, why you're allowed to make, why the meich is making a shvua? But Rameir Ibn Hashemin, the Gemara actually, Rameir actually said the opposite of what you're saying. Actually, Rameir held that avdis ki makar koy dummy, that slaves are like land, which, like land you don't make a shvua, avon you don't make a shvua. Because it's not, we learn in the Mishnah Masechta Baba Kama that says, gazal behema vihiskina. Someone's robbed an animal, and in his possession it got old. Or avon miskina, he robbed a slave, and it got old. Says the Tanakama, Mishalm Kishasa Gzela, he pays how much it was worth at this time that he robbed it, where it was worth more, obviously, before it got old, he has to pay that value. Remeyo, he disagrees. He says, no, Bavod, my slaves, Oimaloi, he could tell the original owner, who he's returning the stolen item to, Harishal Chalaf Anacha, behold, what is yours is in front of you. I could just give it back to you as it is. So even though when he stole it was worth $1,000, now that it got old, he's only worth $500, he could just give it back to him and he doesn't have to pay him back to supplement the $500 difference from the time when he robbed it up until now. Now, the reason for this is because, as the Gemara says in Baba Kama, Dav Tzadahim and Aleph, Karka ain't nigzelis. Although a guy could take possession and kick the guy out of his field, it's not really stolen. Because wherever it is, it's in the domain of the owner. So to Remeo holds that a slave is like karka, which is that it's not really stolen to say that it was acquired to the Goslin that, okay, when you stole it, it became yours. Now you stole something worth $1,000. You want to return it like the Tanakama holds. Now it's only worth $500. You got to supplement $500 besides the slave. That's not so, says Remeo. Because it's like karka, where I didn't steal it. So therefore, when it gets old, it got old in the domain of the owner. I could just give him back what's really his. You can't steal land, and so to avadim like karka, says Rameir, and you can't steal it. You just give it back as it is. So you see, Rameir holds that avadim like karka, not like metaltlin. So how can we say he's a town of a mishnah to say avadim like metaltlin to say you make a shvua? That says the Gemara Hale Kasha. That's not a difficulty, because you could answer, K'demachlef Rabba Baravu Batani, like actually Rabba Baravu had switched around the attribution of the opinions. And he learned the other way around. Remeir was the one who said that actually you pay as it was worth at the time that it was robbed, because avodim are like metaltlin, where it was stolen. V'chacham, and the sages, they're the ones who disagree, and they say, oimalai, b'avodim harishal chalaf anecha, that by a slave, he could tell him, harishal chalaf anecha, but again, Remeir was the one who held that avodim are like metaltlin. So that's not a difficulty. Ella, but rather, says Gemara, what is a difficulty is as follows, which would be difficult on this interpretation of Rapapa. Mimai disavir meir makshin and karkle evid. From where do you know to see fit that according to your mayor, you equate, you compare the halacha of land to a slave, which is ma evid nishboin. Just like you want to say, there are mayor holds avad malim alike metatlin, and therefore, just like on the claim of a slave, the seller in this case, who he's the defendant, has to swear av karka nishboin. Also on land, he has to swear because that was the other case in the Mishnah. There were two cases. There was a large slave and a small slave, and a large land and a small land. And the Mishnah is saying that the Meicher, the defendant, swears. So how do you know to say that, oh, okay, because Avodim are like Metatlin, so therefore you swear. So we compare Karka to Avodim, that because they're equated, where it says, Vesnachaltim Oitzim Levnechem, that it's considered a Nachla by Avodim. So we compare land to slaves, that so too the defendant's going to swear regarding land. And that is the Gemara. How do you know that? Dilma'a Eved, who may be only regarding a slave, where, yes, that's where it may hold that the slave is like Metatlin, like a movable item. Where there it's dinishbain. Where there the defendant has to swear. Avalakarka loy, but regarding land, the defendant doesn't swear because that's not a movable item like a slave is. And therefore, how do we understand the second case of the Mishnah, which says that the Meicher is going to swear that it was the small field when that's karka? And where do we find anyone that says that karka, that you're going to be nishbain on, to explain that that's the understanding of the Mishnah, where although it's land, that the defendant's going, the Meicher is going to make a shvua? And that says the Gemara, loy salkadaitach. That is not a question, because the time we actually learned in the Braisa that seemingly is going to prove that Remeir holds that you make a shvu even on karka. Why? Because the Braisa says as follows: Hamachlev par bechamor b'yolda. Someone swaps a cow with a donkey, like the case of our Mishnah, and it gives birth. Ovachen hamoicher shevchasa b'yolda. Again, which was the second case of our Mishnah, which if someone sells a maidservant and it gave birth. Now, if one guy says it was in my domain when the birth happened, and the other one is silent, so Zacha, whoever's the one that's making the definite claim, he merits. Let's say, let's say each one's saying, I don't know. So then the halach is, yachleiku. Continues the Braisa, let's say each one is claiming that it was in my domain when the birth happened. So Yeshava HaMeicher, Shebeshusi Yodah, like our Mishnah said, so the seller swears that he gave birth in his domain. What's the reason? Lafi shekala nishbon shebet Torah nishbon v'lo mishalmin. Because all the oaths in the Torah are the defendant's swears. That you swear and not have to pay. That's the Reb Meir. In other words, the one who makes the claim, the one who's being claimed, the defendant, he swears to exempt himself from having to pay, and not the claimant doesn't swear to collect with that. Because as the Pasuk teaches us, it says, v'lo kechbala v'lo yishalom, that he has to take this oath and not have to pay, meaning whoever is coming upon him to pay, he's the one that swears, as the Gemara learns in Masechta Shavuos of Mehemet Alf. So that's the opinion of Reb Meir. V'chacham ha'imrim, they disagree with Reb Meir, which again, that's what we're trying to prove, that Reb Meir is the town of a mission, like Rav Papa is saying, and therefore, the Meicher is the one that makes the Shavua, and he says it was the smaller one, and or like in this case, that the Braisa told him regarding the halacha of the birth, when the birth was. The Chamaim, they disagree. They say, no, Einish Bain. You don't make an oath, loyal avadim, not on slaves, of loyal kakais, and not on land. And therefore they disagree with this halacha, and that's not going to be the halacha that the Meicher makes the Shavua to exempt himself, because you don't make a Shavua on the claim of a piece of land or on a slave. So therefore, this case, we're talking about a slave, there's no halacha of a Meicher having to make a Shavua. But that's the Braisa. But one thing the Gemara wants to prove in this Braisa is as follows. Lav Mechlal, isn't it inferred from the fact that the Chacham said to a Meir, wait a second, we disagree with your halacha. You don't swear on slaves, and you don't swear on land. Now the inference is that obviously they heard Reb Meir say that not only does he hold that you swear on slaves, because it's like Metatlin, but that you even swear on land. So the inference is the Reb Meir Savanishbind, Reb Meir holds that you make a Shavua on Karka. So therefore Reb Papa is resolved. We could explain the halacha of a Mishnah like Reb Meir, because it's not only an Avadim that he holds that you make a Shavua, but even on Karka, which is compared to Avadim, you're going to make a Shavua too as a defendant, in this case, which is the Meicher, regarding the smaller field that was sold. And that thing more says, Mimai. What's your proof from this Braisa to resolve Reb Papa? Dilma Kashem Kamerle. Maybe what the Chum were telling Reb Meir was, just as, what do you mean? They were trying to prove that he should admit to them, because ki heche do oidus lamakarkoi is just like you admit to us by land, that you don't make a shvu as a defendant on, so oidila nami ba'avadim. So you should also admit to us by slaves that you're not nishbon, which we may be disagreeing. But not that he held that karka you make a shvua. It's just that he didn't hold that it's comparable. And it's not true. You're right. By karka you don't make a shvua, but by avodin you would make a shvua. And the Gemara says, Teda, you should know, and this would be what's going to disprove the opinion of a papa. Because again, if he wants to say it's like Remei, the halacha of a Mishnah, then he would be saying it even on karka you make a shvua, which the Gemara is going to prove it's not true. Remei holds that you don't make a shvua on karka. You could say by avodin you do, but not by karka, and therefore that wouldn't resolve the halacha of our Mishnah. Does not, like we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Shavuos. Remei Yoyim, he says, Yesh Dvarim Shehinka Karka. There are certain things that are like land, because they're attached, but Ve'inika Karka, but they're not like land. Ve'inchacha Maidenle, but the sages did not agree to him. So, Ketzah, the Mishnah there says, Masechta Shavuos, what case are they talking about? Yud Gifanim Tu'unis Mesatilach. If the claimant is claiming that I gave you 10 laden grapevines, and that's what you owe me. Bahala Oimer in El Chamesh. And the defendant says it's not true, it's only 5. So Remeir Mechayev. Remeir holds that the defendant is Chayev in the Shavua, because of Maidim Mekhtis, admitting to part of the claim. The Chachamim, they disagree. They say, Kolam Achubel Karka, whatever's attached to the ground, which is what fruits are on the tree onto the ground, Hariyaku Karka, has the same halacha as land, and therefore a defendant, although he's being Maidim Mekhtis, since it's on regards to land, you don't make a Shavua, which in this case the Shavua is Maidim Mekhtis, on a piece of land. So therefore, they hold that he's exempt from a shvu. Now, V'amr b'Yisrael b'Chanin, he explained that this halacha that they're disagreeing about, he says as follows. He says, Anavim ha'imnis li batzer ikibinayu. Their case that was talking about was, it was talking about regards to grapes that was ready to be picked. What's the machlokes? The marsav Remeir held, kibitzur is damyin. Since they're ready to be picked, they're like they're already picked. And therefore, they're not considered like karka, and therefore you're going to be chayim in the shvu way to make this. But if it was, if it wasn't ready to be picked, meaning that it was attached to the land, then we would consider it as land itself, then Remei would agree that you would not make a shvua, which that's what refers to a papa. You see, Remei clearly holds, even though he says over there that you can be chayv a shvua, it's only because it's ready to be picked. But if it wasn't ready, even the fruits, for sure the tree and the land that it's attached to, you would not make a shvua, which is not like a papa who wants to say it even seemingly in the halach of karka. Now, Amar Savalav Kibitzur is Damin, whereas the Chacham disagreed, and they said that no, that even though it's ready to be picked, it's not like it's picked, and since it's still attached to the tree, which is attached to the ground, you don't make a Shavua. But one thing we see, not like this interpretation of Rav Papa, so El rather says the Gemara, La'ilam Kirib Hoshia, rather will say like the previous interpretation, that of Rav Hoshia, who he said that we're actually, the dispute was regarding a slave with its garment. Now that Rav Papa's question on Rav Hoshia was, which therefore he went to his interpretation, which we just refuted his interpretation, was with the Kikashalach Zaykin. Now this that you asked, but so what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? That the oath on the garment, which we said that it's a smaller garment and a larger garment, which it's by pieces, so it's Mimina Taina, so then that would mandate a Shvua on the slave? What? Why was that necessary? That's an explicit Mishnah Misef's Kedushin, and that's just the Gemara Itzrich. Now there was a unique Chiddush in our Mishnah why I had to say it. Because Salka Dait Ramina, you would have thought to say, Kisus Evid Ke Evid Dami, that the garment of the slave is like the slave itself, meaning it's secondary to the slave. And Oimis of the Kisad Dami, that the bundles of the field are secondary to the field itself, and therefore essentially it's really one thing that they're discussing, and therefore the primary claim and the defense is regards to something that you're not chayiv in a shvua, because it's Tomar and Evid, and regarding Karka, which you don't make a shvua. So therefore, you would think that actually he would be exempt from a shvua the Meicher, because the garment itself, or the bundles itself, would not mandate him a shvua, because it's only secondary to the slave or to the field, which you put from a shvua. Kamash Malan, that is the Chiddush that no, that they're considered as distinct claims, and since he has to make a shvua on the bundles or on the garment, that is zaykik and that's megalgal the shvua onto the field and onto the slave. So again, that was three different. That was basically two interpretations that the Gemara came out with, which is the interpretation of Rav, which is that it's somewhat monetary, which answers all of your questions, or like Rav Hoshia, which is talking about the slave with the garment or the field with the sheep. Now the Gemara goes back to explain this brice that was mentioned in passing before regarding the case of a machlef par b'chamor, which was this machlekes Remeir and the Chacham, which we had brought in to refute the interpretation to bring a proof, seemingly, to this halacha of Rav Papa, that Remeir would even say it in Karka, which the Gemara ultimately refuted and said it's not a raya that Remeir said even by Karka that you're going to be chayav in Shpua. But one thing it said there in that brice when these guys swapping a cow for a donkey, So ze omer in yedea, v'zeim in yedea. He says, I don't know when the birth was. He says, I don't know when the birth was. So then they split the value of the child, of the fetus that was born. So that the Gemara asks, Haman, who's the town of this price? Sumchas, seemingly it's like sumchas. That he says that you don't go based on the muchzik, whoever was in possession of it beforehand. Rather, when there's money that's in doubt, then you split it. On that, asks the Gemara, Emer say, but look at the end of the price. If each one claims that it was born, the fetus, in my domain, he says, my domain, so the Bryce says, so the seller swears that it was born in his domain. And that is the Gemara, but the Rabbi Barafu in the Amar in, that he says, yes, that Sumcha says, even when each one has a definite claim, so why does the seller take an oath, but which is similar to the Gemara, as we had this in Amar Alf regarding the halacha of our Mishnah. So it should be split. Why does the seller make an oath? Each one is making a definite claim, but still it's a suffix, and you should say Yachleiku. And that says the Gemara, as we said in Amar Alf, regarding the question we had on our Mishnah, May the Sumchas Hecha Dekeshvu Dei Raisa. Sumchas agrees that where there is a biblical oath, moreover, the case is talking about Udikata Liyada, that the maidservant actually, her hand was cut off, which is kidarava, like Rava said, that when you cut off the hand, that's not going to qualify for halach. In other words, this is mimin hataina, which Rashi is addressing. What happens is that the buyer is claiming that the maidservant that you sold me was the maidservant with the fetus. I mean, he's claiming that the fetus was born after it was sold. And the seller is saying, no, it's not true. She gave birth beforehand. I only sold you the maidservant. So essentially, he's claiming a maidservant with a child, and he's admitting to only the maidservant. So that's considered mimin hataina, Rashi says, because the maidservant with the child are considered one body. So therefore, that qualifies for the halacha moedim miktus. Essentially, the seller is admitting to part of the claim. Oh, part of the claim, Sumchas agrees, as we said, that when there's a chiv v'shvu moedim miktus, then you chayv v'shvu, and then you don't say yachalika without a shvu. Moreover, there's no problem about halach to say there's no moedim miktus, because since her hand was chopped off, even what he's admitting to is not a full admission, not giving what you owe right now, because he still has to supplement the broken hand. So that's not halach. And moreover, Remeir is, as we said, of the opinion that you are nishban ala avadim, so therefore that's what the Mishnah would be going like, since even though it's a slave, you're going to make a shvua, because you make a shvua on the eved like matatlin. So you have nishban ala avadim, and you have a case of meidim emiktis, because it is mimin hataina. And moreover, there's no problem about halach. And again, Sumchas agrees that when there is a chiyuv shvua moedim miktus, that you make the shvua and you're not yachloiku without a shvua. Therefore, it's not difficult on Rabbi Bar Afuna why it's yachloiku, even though they have the tainus of bari yabari, where he says, Sumchas says, usually is yachloiku b'lei shvua. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which continues on this previous theme related of this, what we said, yachloiku, that when there's this dispute between the two different parties, that you split it. So our Mishnah continues in a related vein. Mishnah says, if someone sells his olive tree to somebody else on his field for that he should use it for firewood, now, however, the buyer delayed in taking it, chopping it down from the seller's field. Now, in the interim, the olive tree made inferior olives, which were pachas mirvis lisa, which is that even a sa, which is a certain measurement of olives, wouldn't even make a revius of oil. Says the Mishnah, such a case, Hare Elu Shel Baal HaZeisim. So those olives that grew belong to the purchaser, to the one who owns the olive trees, which he's allowed to cut it down to use it for firewood. Now those olives that grew in the interim belong to him, and the reason will be explained in the Gemara. Now continues the Mishnah, but let's say Asur Avis L'sa, let's say the Asav that the olives made are not so inferior, and that it would even you would be able to squeeze out a revius of oil. Now, in such a case, so essentially, the one who bought the olive trees is claiming that, oh, the reason why these good olives came out is it's my olive tree that grew it, and therefore the olive should belong to me. But the seller, the one who owns the land, could say, well, you think your tree grows out of nowhere? It gets nourishment from the ground. It's my ground that gave nourishment to the olives. So therefore, in such a case, yachleiku, then they'll have to split the value of the olives between the seller and the buyer. A similar case, Shativ Nar Zesav. If the river came in and the tide came and swept out his olive trees, and it took it into his friend's field, And then there it remained, the olive trees, and it grew olives in that guy's field. So the one who owned the olive tree, who got swept by the river, says, hey, the olives that it grew was because it was my olive tree. But the guy whose field it went into says, what do you think? It grew because my field gave it nourishment. So Allah is in such a case, they split the value of the olives between the two of them. Now the Gemara goes to explain the halacha of the Mishnah, starting off with the Reisha. Hey Chidami, what is this case that the Mishnah opens up with, where we said that if he sells him the olive trees, and in the interim it grew these inferior olives, that it doesn't even make a revias for a sa, that then the Lekeach goes and takes the Zaysim, but if it was more than that, then they split it. Hey Chidami, what's the case? And that is, Ida Amalei Kodz La'alta, if he told him, look, I'm selling you these olive trees, but you got to do a quick job. You got to chop it down right away. So then the question is, Afilapachas Mirvias, Namil Balakarka. Then even if it made less than Mirvias, it shouldn't go to the owner of the olive tree, because it should go to the owner of the land, which there's a discussion in the Rishayim if it means all of it should go to the owner of the land, or it should be split at least with the owner of the land, because he's saying, I didn't give you the right to delay it. If it delayed and now it grew olives, that's you don't get that. You were supposed to cut it down right away. That goes to me. Now, and Ida Malay call Amos the boy kites, and if you told him, chop it down whenever you want. I sold it to you. Come in a year, come in 5 years, come whenever you want. So then the question is, Afil Revias Namilabal Zaysin. Then even if it makes even a Revias, it makes good quality olives, then that should still go to the owner of the olive tree. Why then did we say in the Mishnah that you split it? How do we understand this case of the Mishnah? So says the Gemara, Loi Tzricha, no, it's necessary in the case of the Amalei Stama. He didn't tell him. He didn't tell him either one of the way. He didn't tell him, cut it down right away. And neither did he tell him, oh, come whenever you want. He just said, here, I'm selling you the olive trees that you could use it for firewood. Pachas mirevias loikapti inchi. If it grew olives that are less than revias, okay, so people are not particular. So therefore, okay, let the buyer keep those, you know, he bought the tree, let him keep it. Revias kapti inchi. But if it grows revias, then people are particular. And that is, we could assume that when he sold it to him, it was with the assumption that it's only not going to grow high quality olives. If it's going to be a delay and it's going to grow high quality olives, that he didn't sell him, and therefore then you have to go ahead and split it with the owner of the field, because then it grew through a partnership of the olive tree and the land. Now, but Omer Shem Pazi makes one qualification, this halacha, that Revi Shomer, this that we said, that if this this amount of olives, the saw of olives, that it changes in halacha of if it made less than revias, that then it goes to the owner of the olive tree who bought it. Or if it makes more than that, then it has to be shared between the owner of the olive tree and the owner of the field, that he qualifies as a continuing type of kof alav medalav, chutz min ha'itzah. That's except for the expenses, meaning that he has to spend money in pressing the olives and squeezing it out and heating it up. That costs money. It's only talking about beyond that. If after all that expenses, then still you can get a revias of oil from that saw of olives, then already it's something that was really valuable, then we say that since he sold it stama, that then we could assume that he was particular about it, and then you would have to split it between the seller and the buyer.